Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. And the topic today is, silence is golden. Silence is golden. You'll see why when we look at the two verses. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Now let me read it for you again, give you a chance to hear it. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Notice he's going to spare his words if what? If he has knowledge. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, what do they say, rather than to open your mouth and remove all doubt? So here's the deal. The guy that knows something can say what he knows in very few words. That's how when a lot of times you'll hear somebody like on talk radio, and the host will ask a fellow the question, and he'll start to answer and he's rambling on. You know why he does that? Because he doesn't know the answer. But if he knows the answer, he'll spare his words. And if he's a fool and he doesn't know the answer, he's better off holding his peace and make you think that he knows the answer. You'll even count him wise if he does that, rather than to open his mouth and tell you for sure that he's a fool. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. How many of men have said too much and then regretted it later? It's so much better to withhold comment on something that you don't know. It's so much better to withhold comment until you know exactly what to say, and until you know exactly how to say it, and until you know when to say it. I mean, really, there are times, you know, timing has a lot to do with somebody hearing something that you need to say. In other words, you could say something today and the person's not in the mood to listen. You could tell them the same thing tomorrow when they're in the mood to listen, and they're going to get it. There's a lot of wisdom in knowing when to say what needs to be said, how to say it so you don't say too much, and then what to say. I have a friend of mine, and she was having difficulty being able to communicate with her pastor about a particular problem that she was having, and everything was timing, because he's a very busy man. And everything was timing. It was a matter of finding him on the right day when he was in the right mood to be able to hear what had to be said, which was just an easy thing. Say it briefly, get it done, and be done with it. You know what? There's a lot of wisdom in that. And fools don't know that kind of wisdom. But he that has knowledge can say, he can spare his words, and he can hold his peace until the right time. Now, the Bible says, you know, and really and truly, sometimes it's just better not to say anything at all. Just let it ride. I mean, particularly if your temper kind of flared on the thing. If you don't say anything at all, 2 days from now, it may all pass anyway, and you won't have anything to worry about. Okay, now in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12, we find something similar to this. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A man of understanding holdeth his peace. When a man understands something, he can keep his mouth shut. Silence is golden. There are times just not to say anything at all. I've watched that. I've watched that in businesses. I've watched that in families. I've seen that in churches where somebody sometimes will say grievous words and they're mad and then the fellow doesn't say anything at all. I remember listening to a sermon that E.V. Hill preached when he preached his wife's funeral. And he talked in there about his daughter becoming upset with him over a boyfriend. And she said some angry words to him, and he didn't say anything at all because he understood that she was angry. And there wasn't any need to say anything because he knew in the long run that he was going to be able to persuade her in order for her to be able to marry somebody that was very, very suitable for her and also good for the family. So he just held his peace. He didn't say anything at all. And a man of understanding will do that. A wise man will do that. Sometimes it's better just not to say anything at all. And that reveals that you have understanding heart when you do that. Now, why would a man or why would a woman withhold comment? Why would they just not say anything at all under given circumstances? Well, there are several reasons, and we want to look in the Bible, and I'll just take these in the order they appear within the Bible so it's easier for you if you're trying to follow along and turn the pages. Let's look at Genesis chapter 24, verse 21 first. Genesis chapter 24 and look at verse 21 first. All right, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 21, I'm going to go right to the verse and then I'll give you the context. The man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. All right, what is that? Well, in Genesis chapter 24, Abraham's servant was given the charge of going back to the area where he came from, back to the area of the Ur of the Chaldees, where his relatives were, Laban and Rebekah and Milcah's children. He was supposed to go back there and try to find a wife for Isaac. When he got there, he met Rebekah. And when he met Rebekah, he had said to the Lord, if the woman that I meet not only gives me water, but offers to give water for the camels and does it, then let that be the woman that you've chosen for Isaac. Well, she drew for him, and she drew for the camels as well. And that's when he said the man wondering at her held his peace. He didn't say anything. To wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. In other words, he thought, man, the Lord has answered my prayer, but I need to be sure. And so what he did is he actually did not say anything to her about what his intentions were as far as marrying is concerned. Then what he decided he would do, see, is that he would simply but actually do some other things to see if, in fact, this was Isaac's future wife. All right. He withheld comment. He held his peace. Why? He was waiting to see the Lord's direction. All right, so the first reason for you not to say anything, to hold your peace, to wait on a comment, to have the knowledge and spare your words, to keep your mouth shut so as not to be revealed a fool, is when you are heading in a direction you believe the Lord wants you to go, but you are not sure. And so you're going to wait to see the Lord's direction. Now, there are many examples of this kind of thing. Let's say when, in practical situations, let's say you're a fella and you've met a girl and you think, man, this may be her. Well, be a wise man and withhold the proposal for marriage until you know. Or if you're the girl and he's made the proposal, withhold the answer of accepting the proposal until you see the Lord's direction. That would be a good reason not to say something at that time. Sometimes events are developing when people are having a conversation, and you're not exactly sure how the things are going to turn out as far as God is concerned. In other words, at first it may seem that the thing is not going the way that you believe God wants it to go, but you're better off not to say anything at all until you see the Lord's direction. Now, there are all kinds of personal illustrations that I can give on that, but a lot of these personal illustrations concern my friends, and I don't want to go into all those kinds of details. I can give you sort of hypothetical type illustrations that might help. But for instance, sometimes, and I mean these are little small things, they don't have great consequence, but as an example, sometimes you're riding down the road and you see the fella, you know he needs to make a turn coming up, and you want to say something to him. Well, sometimes people are aggravated when you tell them, okay, now turn here and turn here and turn there. So you decide not to say anything because you want to see if, in fact, the guy's going to know that he needs to make that turn on his own, and you see that he does. Well, the Lord's like that. A lot of times you want to start telling the Lord, hey, wait, we're going in the wrong direction. Lord, this isn't turning out right. This is what I expected. But you're sometimes better off just to wait. It may be that the Lord is taking you in a direction you didn't expect the thing to go, but you find out in the end that it is exactly the right direction. So wait to see the Lord's direction. Now, I'll give you an example. And I did speak. I said something that was foolish, so I'll tell the story on me. When I went off to Bible school, before I had left, I had been very, very involved in teaching and preaching. When I got to Bible school that first year, we were just sitting in class learning some very basic stuff, and I had been reading commentaries and studying and had already seen a lot of that stuff for myself. And I came home after about 2 months of school, and I said to my wife these words, "I think I'm wasting my time. I think I've made a mistake coming here." Well, my wife thought that the whole move over there in the first place was a grueling exercise. She didn't want to leave where we had been living to go over there, and so it was very tough on her. And she said to me after I said that, "Listen, you drug me and the kids all the way over here to go to Bible school. We're not leaving till you're done." That's all she said. That was very, very good. I said, "Okay, all right." Well, the thing I was struggling with is that I thought the Lord was going to come back real soon. I mean, imminently. And I thought, man, I ought to be out there trying to lead souls to Jesus Christ rather than sitting in here doing this kind of work. Until May. This all happened in October. In May. What is that? 7 months later? There was an alumni reception. A bunch of the old guys that had graduated from the school came back, and one guy, I don't even know his name, stood up and said, "We all want the Lord to come back in our lifetime. Amen. We all want the Lord to come back as soon as possible. Amen." He said, "Well, you better be where the Lord wants you to be when he gets here, and if he wants you to be in this school, this is where you ought to be." And he sat down. I am telling you, it took that 7 months for the Lord to confirm what my wife had said to me back in October. And by waiting to see the Lord's direction, I didn't miss the completion of that school. You see? So just saying nothing and waiting to see God's hand in that thing has turned out to be far better, or would have turned out to be far better than saying something and attempting to leave right in the middle of that. You've got to wait sometimes. You've got to see the Lord's direction rather than start fussing and saying things. Hold your peace. All right, now here's the next thing. Genesis 34 and look at verse 5. Genesis 34 and look at verse 5. All right, the Bible says, and I'm going to take you right to the verse, "Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come." All right, here's the situation. Dinah was in Shechem. She went out to see the daughters of the land, and she was forcefully lain with. The guy slept with her, and it looks like it was rape, and decided he wanted to marry her. His name was Shechem, the son of Hamor. And when Jacob found out about it, the boys weren't home, and he didn't know what they were going to do about it. So rather than say anything to Shechem about his proposal to want to marry Dinah, he just said, "We'll wait till the boys get home." Why? Why wait? Why not say something? You know that he wasn't happy about it. Why not just go ahead and say something about it right then? There's a reason. You say, what could that possibly be? The reason is he was waiting on further counsel. Waiting on further counsel. That's a good reason not to say anything. Listen, there are times when you're going to hear somebody say something, and in your own heart you're going to say, "Oh boy, this is the answer to that deal." But you may not know all of the facts that you need to know in order, or you may not have considered other people's thoughts on the matter before making your final decision. You know what you're better off to do? Not say anything at all until you have received further counsel. There are times, many times in the ministry, when I've experienced a situation where I'm facing something I've never faced before and I don't really know the best way to go. You say, "Do you pray about it?" Of course I pray about it. But then I find that there's something better for me to do even in addition to that. I'll pick up the telephone, call two or three preachers that I know that have been in the ministry a lot longer than I have that have seen these kind of things, and I'll say, "Hey, what do you think about this?" And then, after I've heard from them and listened to their counsel, because I don't have any particular way that I want to go on the thing, I just simply want to know, you know, what the right thing is. After I've heard their counsel, then I know how to respond. Then I know how to speak or react to that situation. So there's another good reason, then, for you not to say anything, to, as Solomon said, to hold your peace. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Wait until you've had enough counsel on the matter to know exactly what to say. Now, again, there are myriad examples from personal experience that I've seen where this has really paid off. You know, a lot of times when people will first tell me about a particular incident, they're all alarmed about it, and they've already formed an opinion about it, and they'll say, "Oh, so-and-so did such and such, and that deal wasn't right." And they kind of want me to join the bandwagon or actually do something about it. And I'll say, "Well, let's just see." You know what I'll do? A lot of times I'll go to the other party and I'll ask them. And, you know, it's an amazing thing how much more light you get on a situation after you ask a few more questions and see what other people have to say about these matters. And if I had reacted to the first thing that I heard, I would have reacted incorrectly. I've got a preacher friend of mine, and I think that's just one of the faults that's there. What he'll do when he hears something, he'll take action on the first thing he hears. And that's the way he operates. And you know something? Sometimes the first thing he hears is not right. And it's just better to let the thing lie and listen to a few more things and then speak once you've had further counsel. That's a good reason to withhold comment. The first reason, wait to see the Lord's direction. Second reason, wait for further counsel. Third reason, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. Another good reason to just shut the lips and hold the peace is this, Leviticus 10, 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. What is this? This is when Nadab and Abihu died in the temple because they offered strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord consumed them. So what is that all about? Well, what that's about is that the Lord had said he wanted only the incense that came off the incense altar to be offered before the Lord. But they offered strange fire before the Lord in verse 1. And when they did, a fire came out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Aaron was right in the middle of consecrating all this stuff. He really wanted to have something to say about that. Don't you know that he would be upset about it? And particularly upset with either Moses or God about the fact that his two oldest boys and successors to the priesthood had died? You know he'd be upset about it. And you know something? The Bible says when Moses talked to Aaron, he said, this is what the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. You know why Aaron didn't say anything? Because the Lord had already said it all. In other words, the Lord already has spoken about certain matters. The Lord has already said what needs to be said about certain matters. And he doesn't want anything else said about it. And there's nothing else that you can say that is going to convince the Lord to go any other way than what he's already spoken. That Bible is filled with God's comments on things. And there's no reason for you to speak if God's already spoken. I was listening to a radio program last night, and there was some guy on there, and he was talking about things in the Bible, and the host of the show didn't agree with him. Well, there was no reason for the host to say some of the things that he said that contradicted what the preacher was saying, because the Lord had already spoken concerning those matters, and the host was contradicting the Lord. There's no need in that. You look like a fool when you do that. Why? Because the Lord's always right. Here's another reason to withhold comment, to just hold your peace and not say anything at all. 1 Samuel chapter 10, look at verse 27. 1 Samuel chapter 10, and look at verse 27. The silence is golden. Sometimes you're better off not saying anything at all rather than speaking, and I'm showing you biblical examples why you would do that. The first is to wait and see the Lord's direction. You may not know what to say because you don't know what God's going to do with what's going on. Or to wait for further counsel until you've had an opportunity to weigh all the facts. Or because the Lord has already said it all. I mean, when the Lord speaks about a certain matter, there is no reason for you to try to contradict the Lord and justify it any other way unless you want to look like a fool, either before men or later at the judgment before God. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 27, here's another reason. Again, the verse. The children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. The children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? They're talking about King Saul. King Saul has just been brought to the throne. The people shouted and said, God saved the king. Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, wrote it in a book, laid it before the Lord. Saul went to Gibeah. A large band of men went with him, whose hearts God had touched, but there were some guys that didn't want to go with him. They despised him and brought him no presents. But the Bible says he, Saul, held his peace. He didn't say anything. Why? No sense stirring up trouble. What could he say? Those men weren't going to have him rule over them at any time. They didn't bring him any presents. They weren't going to bring him presents later. Why did he not say anything? Wasn't anything he could say. Wasn't anything to say, except just to stir up the trouble. What we call this a lot of times is taking the bait. That may be a counseling term. I'm not sure. I've heard other people who go to counseling use it, so maybe that's what it's called, taking the bait. But I understand it because I like to fish. And when we're fishing, we like to present bait to the fish, which is similar to the food they normally eat. Except in this case, they don't realize there is a line attached to the bait that has a hook in it, so that when the fish bites down on the bait, he gets a hook in his mouth that allows us to take control of the fish and bring him to the boat and put him in the ice box and cook him, so that he now becomes the food rather than he becoming the predator. See? He doesn't see that. And the reason he doesn't see it is that this bait looks just like something that he ought to chomp on. Well, a lot of times in dealing with other people, they'll do something like these guys did, saying, "How shall this man rule over us?" See? And then they brought him no presents at all. Why? Because they were mad. And he didn't say anything. Why? All he would have done is stir up trouble. He wasn't going to change a thing. And there's no reason in the world for you to respond to something that isn't going to change a thing, and all it's going to do is stir up trouble. Many, many, many family arguments are just like this one right here. And one person ought to just let it go. Well, I can't let it go. I'm not going to let her get away with saying that to me. I'm not going to let him get away with saying that to me. And so you pick it up, and there that thing goes until you just want to come to blows. And then you come to no solution. Everybody's mad. And why? Because you opened your big fat trap. Why? Because you thought this time you could get something done about it. Aren't we funny about the way we are, creatures of habit? We do the same thing the same way, expecting different results. Why, next time, why don't you just not say anything? Why don't you take it and go think about it, pray about it? It may very well be that the thing was said did not need a response whatsoever. This certainly didn't need a response. These guys were the children of, or the sons of Belial, the children of Belial. They were rebellious, following the devil. Nothing you could do with them. I've watched preachers whenever they were dealing with people and they find somebody like this, and all they want to do is talk and all they want to do is argue, and the preacher just stays in there and talks and argues and argues and talks and debates and strives, and then after two solid hours leaves and nothing's changed. You know what he should have done? He should have been a man of understanding, a man of knowledge, sparing his words, quoted a verse of scripture and left the house. It would have saved him an hour and 57 minutes. It would have saved him all that time of gasping with a fool that wasn't going to turn anyway and go on down the road. Why? No sense stirring up trouble. Not going to accomplish a thing. That right there might save you 5 hours a week right there. Can't you read into a conversation when you're dealing with somebody that is incorrigible? Can't you tell when they're not going to turn to do anything? And can't you see that it's time for you just to bow out of the conversation and keep it all to yourself? They're not listening anyway. Actually, what I just said has stepped on another point, and I need to get to these anyway. The next one is found in Matthew 26:63 at Jesus' trial. Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." He didn't answer anything to the accusers that were accusing him at his trial before the chief priest. Why? Because nothing he said was going to change a thing. It's kind of similar to the other point, the way that I spoke it about not stirring up trouble. You know, when you're in a situation where what you're going to say is not going to change anything anyway, why speak? Why speak? I've seen that so many, many times. You're just an observer in a conversation, and people are just going on and on and on about nothing, and it doesn't make a bit of difference to anybody else in the room. Nothing you say is going to change a thing, so don't say anything. And then finally this, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 30. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 30. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. That's the situation in the congregation there in Corinth where there were two or three men, four or five men that were considered prophets that could speak. And one man's speaking the prophecy that the Lord gave him. And then all of a sudden another thing is revealed to another man. And Paul said, in that case, then you quit talking and let this guy say what needs to be said. And do it, you know, one at a time, and no more than two or three of you speak in a service. All right, what do we learn from that then? A good reason to not say anything is because someone else has something better to say. A good reason not to say anything is just because somebody else has something better to say. You ought to be the chairman of a committee sometimes. I mean, a chairman of a committee is just supposed to make sure everything goes by the parliamentary rule and make sure that everything on the agenda gets covered and everything, you know, stays on the topic and all that. The discussions are held by most of the other people that are there. He's not the one trying to decide what needs to be done his way. He's just trying to keep the meeting going in the right process till it comes to the conclusion and make sure that everything's done decently and in order. He spends most of his time quiet and a lot of his time listening. You know why he'll do that? If he's a smart man, because he recognizes that the other people that are talking have something better to say than he has to say. Their contribution to the outcome of the decision bears more weight than his contribution. And only maybe at the last he could interject something in the discussion that might help make the decision. Somebody else has something better to say. That's a good time for you not to speak and let them speak. Boy, I'll tell you what, pride gets in the way there, though, and you want to jump on that thing and put your two cents in because you want to be the one credited with the great thought or the great idea. I mean, if the great idea comes forth, it doesn't make any difference from whose mouth it comes forth as long as it's a good idea upon which we can act that's for the benefit of all concerned. Good time not to say anything. So we call this silence is golden, a good time for a man to hold his peace and keep his mouth shut to prove that he's not a fool and to be esteemed a man of understanding. And the Bible's given us a number of examples why a man would do that. Number one, he'd wait to see the Lord's direction, just like Abraham's servant did when he was trying to find out whether Rebekah was the wife for Isaac. He'd wait for further counsel like Jacob did before his boys came home after Dinah was raped. Because the Lord has already said it all and there's nothing you can add to it. No reason to talk because you'll find out that you're contradicting God. Or in the case of Saul, when the men didn't want to serve him, no need to say anything because all you're going to do is stir up trouble and cause a fight that doesn't need to be had. Or in the case of Jesus in his trial, you say nothing because nothing you say is going to change a thing. They were going to crucify him anyway. Or the last reason that was given from the Bible, according to the prophets in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you just don't say anything because somebody else has something better to say. You give them the floor and let them speak. And when you do that, other people look at you and say, you know that dude right there is a wise man, or that woman right there is a wise woman. That's Bible. That's Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 to 28.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.